Hello.
Hello.
You welcome to another episode of This Thing Called Marriage.
Demystifying marriage.
That's correct. And today's episode is rather sensitive.
Will you say?
It's touchy.
Touchy.
But to be honest, most things we talk about on This Thing Called Marriage is usually quite sensitive because pretty much everything about marriage can be quite sensitive. That's true.
And I guess that's the whole point of our show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't sensitive, there wouldn't be anything to demystify, right?
Yeah. So basically opening the door of marriage, you know, discussing about things that people necessarily don't hear about out there. So, I mean, people that are not yet married or people that are planning to be married, they haven't heard and they only just find out when they enter.
Or people that are married but living single.
Or they just only find out when they enter as we are just finding out ourselves.
Yeah, and this thing we just really started finding out about less than a year ago.
Yeah, very fresh.
Very fresh. Well, let me start by saying something that the Holy Book says. It says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife.
That's right.
So what is cleaving, really? That's what cleaving is.
Yeah, cleaving. Cleaving is like holding on to something in their life, I think.
Yeah. I always wondered, why did the Bible just say man shall leave his mom and his dad? Why does woman not get to leave? Is that why women never really always like closer to their parents even after marriage?
No.
But guys are a bit more, you know, they leave completely.
No, I totally disagree from that. I think it's because in most cultures, in marriage, it is so obvious that the wife is leaving and cleaving. She leaves her husband's house. She leaves her family house to enter into this new family.
Sorry, this part of the Bible I quoted was Adam and Eve's period. So I don't know which culture you're talking about.
I mean, it was written by Moses after culture started, so.
She has an answer to everything, doesn't she?
I mean, I try.
Well, I like to see cleaving as, you know, when you join with something, you bond with something to become one.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see it that way. And why this topic we are discussing came about was because you realize that before we got married, obviously we had friends and family. And then, it's like when you get married, it's like you are supposed to abandon them because now you are married.
Mm.
And hence the title.
In with the new, out with the old. Yeah. Or
a question mark.
Yeah, question mark.
Yeah, so we want to talk about, like, now that you're married, does it mean, like, everything, like, everybody you've known, kick them out, your husband is in, and your family is out? Is that what it means?
Yeah, valid question. So that's basically what we're talking about on today's episode. And that's why we said it's a bit touchy. So we hope you're sitting down and you have your drink.
Yeah, don't get too, like, upset.
No high blood
pressure. Just calm down.
Calm down.
Just calm down. So what's wrong with cleaving? Like, let's talk about that. So I don't think, first of all, I would say that I don't think there is, and I'm of the opinion that when a man gets married, and this might sound very controversial, but I feel when you get married, your former nuclear family, they become extended family.
That's how I see it.
And I've had these conversations with people, and they're like, no, that's not true. That's still your family. This one, that one. And what I always throw to them is, okay, if hypothetical questions, I really, really hate them. Say a robber comes into your house and they have the option of either shooting your husband or your father. Who will you say shoot? That's always the question I ask.
Are you asking me?
I don't think I want to know the answer.
Let's just pray that situation never happens. I'll pick you.
Okay. She would pick me. So what I'm trying to get at here is that when it comes to cleaving, right?
Mm.
You're supposed to leave your parents, like you're supposed to, and that's why you find that a lot of young men, They've not really cleaved to their partner because they're still, like, so bonded with their parents, and they're like, no, he's my dad, he's my mom, you know. You hear things like, they paid for my school fees, they did this for me, mm-hmm. when I had no one, who is this woman? She just came into my life, I've known them all my life, this one, that one. And I'm like, maybe she just marry your parents then?
I mean, if you put it into perspective, it is understandable. I remember we were talking the other day, and then I said, wait, till, so my whole life, in my whole life, I'm 28, by the way. My whole life, I've only known you for 6 years out of my whole life. That's not even half of my life. It's not even quarter. Is it quarter?
No.
Do the quick math. No. It's not even quarter of my life.
Oh, wow.
And yet, in this short time, in these 6 years, you've had so much impact. Your positioning in my life has changed so much. You've had, like, such a huge difference in my life. It's almost like a tornado happened. Like, that is what I'll use to describe you in my life. And so it's understandable. Like, it's hard to reconcile that. Basically, what you're trying to tell yourself, what it looks like, I mean, is before you, every other thing in my life was insignificant. That is basically what it's saying. So you have to be sensitive about how you approach it, because they're like, I had a life now. I had a good 23 years of my life. I was alive. I was well. I was feeding. I was breathing. I was surviving. But now, just in the space of 6 years, it's like, I can't live without this guy.
Yeah.
I can't move without this guy.
Yeah.
What should we have for every little decision you're involved? And so it's a bit sensitive, especially when, you know, people that are maybe stubborn or dogged. And, you know, there's certain types of people. I think he's one of them. When you've made up your mind about something, it's very, very hard for someone to change your mind about that particular thing.
Not really. My heart is not strong.
Your heart is not hardened. But what I mean is, when someone has taken a stand about a particular thing, they don't just easily, like, they don't want to feel like, oh, they are wind that can be easily tossed.
Yeah.
So them actually standing by family and friends oftentimes might have less to do with the family and the friends, and it might actually have a lot to do with the fact that they're trying to uphold their integrity, and they're trying to, uphold their brand or their name.
Right. But I quite get that. But this is how I try to look at things. Now, when you want to start something new, like, look at the title, In With The New, Out To The Old. Whenever something new starts, there's usually good example. A farmer, now you've had this plantation on your land.
Mm-hmm.
You've been maybe planting, I don't know, yam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you want to maybe change, maybe you don't be planting yam again, you want to maybe do banana or something, you'd have to clear the entire farm.
Who switches from yam to banana? Okay.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, when you think about it, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but focus, Kemi, okay?
Focus.
So, when your farmer now wants to clear, like, when he wants to start planting banana, he has to clear the farm, mm-hmm. you get. Mm-hmm. So, that's like, all what has been existing there has to leave to make way for the new.
Yeah.
So that when you want to start something new, there's always got to be a clearing. Now, I'm not saying you clear out your family.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that you now have to make room.
Mm.
And this is what I found that a lot of people always have issues with in their marriage. They've not been able... Again, I'm a baby in marriage, but
I feel
like what I have seen with, you know, speaking with friends that are married, is that they struggle with that balance of, now that I'm married to this woman, you know, now where do I stand in our, where does my family stand in my life?
Mm.
My family needs money. Do I always give my family money before? I obviously cannot give them now. I have to shorten that and now focus that on my new family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And every new thing obviously requires more attention, more care.
Yeah.
And it might not even be a thing of, oh, you're totally looking away. It's just a thing of, oh, this new thing I'm building is still a seedling.
Right.
It still needs that nurture. It still needs watering and all of that. And maybe when it's strong enough, when there's a good 20 years in it, you know, it's standing on its own, then you can rebalance and be like, oh, my marriage is 20 years now, or my parents are getting to their retirement. They need a bit of attention again. So then there's that redistribution
the
of attention.
Of
basically. Yeah. There's like, I'm still like, you know, giving my family my all, but my parents now need me in this point of their life as well.
In fact, what I would even advise like most young couples is, what I try to do is now with us, for example, we try to help each other. Like, we don't try to make things awkward for each other when it comes to each other's family. So I try to anticipate the needs that our family will need from her. For example, if she forgets to call her dad, Do you get? I try to say, oh, Kemi, you've not called your dad. You forgot to do that.
Yeah.
Or she will remind me, oh, you need to call your mom this week. You've not spoken to her this week.
Yeah.
That way, when she's on the phone with her dad, it's not like, why are you not spending time with me? I reminded you.
You're
like,
the one that instigated.
Exactly, instigated. You put yourself in the driving seat for her
and to... And by that, you are more prepared mentally because you were part of the planning of that, you know, of that meeting or that interaction. Really good, really... Really mature.
Oh, yeah, come on. Really mature. I'm growing.
Okay, so we've spoken a bit about family now. So let's talk about friends.
Right.
This is the one that is going to shake a lot of tables. So, friends. But from the angle of how your friendship groups have evolved, you know, when you get married now. So basically putting it plain and simple, moving away from like maybe... having majority of single friends to moving towards having majority of, you know, couple friends. So,
yeah.
Is this part of living and cleaving?
It is. And I like
it. Is it necessary? Is it so clear cut?
I feel like it's natural. And this is the way I like to see these things. Now, there's a famous quote that says, misery likes company. I'm not saying marriage is a miserable thing, but...
you better not.
It's like when you have new struggles, you need people that are dealing with that struggle or have dealt with it. You naturally are drawn to those people that have dealt with it. So, for example, when you are, if you find a farmer hanging around with farmers in it, why am I talking about farmers?
What is it with farming?
I feel like Jesus right now. You know, he talks about farming a lot.
Wow. Oh,
man, okay, never mind. Sorry.
Sow your seeds.
So, nice one. I feel like as a farmer, you'd be around farmer, and if a farmer stops farming, he starts having, maybe he becomes a teacher, he starts having teachers as friends because he's with teachers, isn't it? It happens naturally. He doesn't really decide one day, from now on, I will stop hanging out with farmers. He just happened to stop hanging out with farmers. I remember when one man once said that if some people are only friends with you because they're in your church. If you leave the church today, chances are they don't call you again. And I found that weirdly true. If you don't have common ground with someone, chances are the friendship naturally just dwindles. So I'm not necessarily saying that you can't married people shouldn't have single friends.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying you find yourself hanging around more with married people as time goes on.
I feel like with this is, for me, I look at it from two angles because it's just like the whole thing of leaving and cleaving. Before you even get married, it is in your mind that, okay, I have to leave and cleave. However, I'm not going to be extreme about it. I'm not going to become one serial killer that kills all these people down so that I can only have, you know, just my husband and things like that. And I think the friendship one for me was one that I probably never saw coming. Until, like, you know, I was in it because I was very intentional at the start of my marriage to be the opposite. I wanted to like carry my friends to the finish line. Like, I had dreams. I had visions of...
She's not actually joking, I had visions, honestly.
Of three of us to get married together at around the same area, maybe in a space of 6 months. Then all of us will be pregnant at the same time.
She's not joking.
Then our children will be best friends as well. And then if our children are now like maybe opposite sex, one of them must get married to the other. That was like...
planning the life for my children.
I was seeing my friends and me... like in that old rickety chair when I'm old on my porch with my gray hair and things like that. And that has just always been what I wanted for my life. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But you can still have those snipped shots that you envisioned without it, you know, reflecting in every single day.
Yeah.
So we can still have that, you know, vacation in 5 or 10 years where we're all, you know, where we want to be. We're all CEOs, we're all bosses, or we're all with our kids, we're all with our husbands and all. We could still have those highlight moments, but those highlight moments don't mean that we are going to be seen every day week or every month.
in fact, something that I remember earlier on in our marriage, we had this, you know, we like to keep it real on this thing called marriage.
Yeah.
So one kind of, I won't go in details yet, but one kind of argument we had in the early stage of our marriage was about prioritizing me and your friends.
Yeah.
Or not even me, I just felt like your own. It was more of like she needed to go travel, see her friends, one reason or the other. And that period, money was quite tight. And I was like, girl, I don't think the reason why you're traveling is good enough. Right? I mean, it's good enough if we can really afford it, but we can't really afford it. So maybe we should spend this money somewhere else. But she explained to me that, no, these friends of ours, I know all our friends, I love them so much. And I understood why they've got this strong bond, like such a really great bond. And it was something that these friends also do for her. This is the funny part. These friends would definitely do it for her. Four of them, definitely. I can guarantee you that because I've seen them do it. But for me, it was like, well, I love them, but girl, you've got to really start prioritizing your own. Did you end up traveling?
I think I still traveled.
She eventually did, but
made sure that I put like things in place so that like the house doesn't suffer as a result.
I just realized something, Kemi. Mm-hmm. I learned something now. Like, even though like you still went.
Yeah.
I communicated to you that my concerns. Yeah. But I didn't now say you must not go.
Yeah.
Do you get? And gradually you started understanding these things that you know, and you weren't always trying to go for everything. You went for some.
Yeah.
You went for one of their engagements together, for example. But it wasn't like, or like before, you wanted to be going for everything, like any single angle. But now, I trusted you.
And I
you
think know? that was really, really like wise of you, I would say, because at the start, we used to butt heads about it. And it was more of, you know, and I think this is why that whole cleaving thing is always so frictional, because it depends on how your partner approaches it. So we used to butt head about it because you would even come up from the angle of, why are you even considering this expense right now? And I'm like, do you know the person we're talking about? This is my ride or die. This is my ride or die. This is my sister. And we would butt head about it. But later, as time went on, I started making that internal process myself that this is my sister, but my sister has to understand that, you know, this has to come first in this, you know, in this particular scenario. I mean, if we're all ballers, we're meeting in Dubai every weekend, but God is still working.
You know the funny part? I remember even saying to her that, trust me, your sisters won't understand.
Yeah.
They know, and that's the funny thing.
And they did. Yeah.
They did. So, but I just want to say something about friends, yeah. I've never really been one to have like tight friends. I think I've only had one close friend all my life, you know. But one thing I've always said about my single friends is, I love you. I need you. You're necessary in my life. You're important in my life. But unfortunately, I really cannot be around you as much as I would love to. Mm. I'm speaking from a man's point of view now. Mm. And the reason why is, as a man, it's a bit dangerous to your marriage if you are constantly hanging around single men because of what single men need to do, what single men want to do. Right. Places single men want to be.
Right.
And you can't be there. And that's the truth. I mean, there's sometimes I would want to go to there's a friend of mine out here in UK. I want to go to his house. I know there's always a girl in his house. And I'm like, and this girl might bring her friend. Don't ask her eyeing somebody. I'm like, I don't want Wahala. So just for my own safety, I will just flee. I will not just hang around him. Do you get? I select where I will hang around him. Like, I remember this one time, it's a friend of ours actually suggested that we should have a getaway group party in some, and they were all single and we were duly married. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I said,
like,
nah. Airbnb.
I was like, nah, I'm not doing.
Well,
I'm not doing. But guess what? A group of married people suggested this. And I was open-minded to it. Why? Because there was no single girl that would come and cut eye for me in the middle of the night after one or two shots of vodka or something. You know, that's... Yeah, I've got to be honest.
Keeping it real. And I guess, like you said when we first started talking about friends, it's the thing about, like, your interests change as you grow. People are just scared of growing and changing. And I'm like, stop labeling yourself. Stop boxing yourself in that, oh, in 1990, Coco, I used to go to this place and now I'm married. I must still maintain that. Life is not like that, please. You'll be the most free person in this world when you realize that today I can like rice and tomorrow I cannot like rice.
Exactly.
Your life on this earth is too long for you to shackle yourself to a way of thinking or a way of living. And as you grow, your priorities change. Like, I used to identify as an extreme extrovert, but right now it takes a lot for me to leave the house, and I own it. And I'm like, this is this season. This is the season where it's taking a lot for me to leave the house because I have my priorities. Everything has changed, and so
and tomorrow again, you might be the one that wants to be
that wants to leave the house every day as well. Like life is fluid, and so when you have when you're single, you have and you know you're all with your friends. You all have your priorities. You all have your interests. You all like have the places that you like to go, the things that you like, and things like that. And they were fun then. But when you get married, sometimes it's not even that you don't want to have fun. It's just that fun to you has changed. Fun to you is no longer, you know, I'll spend all my money on one weekend. It might be I will save my money and buy one really nice thing I like, or I'll work together on a project with my husband. On that is still fun. That is now my new definition of fun. So I think, like, obviously, naturally, it's just the is, and also, let's not lie, there are also some pet peeves that single people bring, and I think we should use this avenue to let them know.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, so you're hanging out with your single friends, and then I just maybe touch your beard, or, you know, just admire the work of God on your life, and then you just be saying, God, when?
I don't mind those things. Though.
Get a room.
Nah, I don't even mind.
Of course I got a room. I'm married. I have several rooms. But, like, what, like, those kind of things, sometimes it can be a bit of a pet peeve. Yeah, it can be a bit like allow me be free, allow me be me, and all of that. And then, but on the flip side of it, it also makes me like it can make the married person feel uncomfortable that I don't want to show off what I have
exactly
in front of my friend that desperately, not desperately, but in front of my friend that is
longing.
It is intentionally pursuing this.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
So I don't want to, come off insensitive in front of my friends that are intentionally pursuing this, and, you know, probably are not, you know, seeing any forthcoming things around them and things like that.
I remember this one time, a couple of our friends organized a party and intentionally
did not invite us.
Why?
Oh my
We're married.
God.
That was the reason.
Yo.
I didn't mind.
I understood. I minded.
She was upset, though.
I minded.
I was like, well, yeah, it's normal.
I was offended, but now I won't be.
Exactly.
I totally will not be offended. And that's why, like, obviously, we're just going to be 2 years this month.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a process. At the start, we butted about you traveling up and down. But now I've had my brain and I know when to travel.
You think I always grow faster than you?
No.
Well, I'm 2 years older, so. And I'm the man.
No, I'm not letting you have it.
Yeah, too late now.
No, it's not that you grow. Like, obviously, there are other things, too, that I saw earlier. Like and we are just catching on to.
Like what?
That's episode 7.
Like what?
We'll talk about those ones later. But yeah, obviously, I took my time and I owned up to it that at the start of the marriage, I did not see the need for changing or transitioning in friendship groups.
Yeah.
I already owned up to that at the start. But now I can see that it's something that just happens naturally.
Yeah.
Just something that happens as you grow.
Oh, yeah.
You are trying to figure out this marriage thing. You need people that are also trying to figure out this marriage thing with you. There's nothing more comforting when you go to the Nigerian embassy, for instance, when you go to Nigerian embassy and you're sitting out next to someone, student visa. This one, you've got all
what
the papers.
What did I say? Misery likes company.
You guys,
that's what it is.
You have your tuberculosis. You have your this. Both of you are comfortable because you're like you're going to the same place. You're pursuing the same thing, and you have the same thing.
And you see, that's what marriage really is. It's two people pursuing the same thing also, you know. So actually, that brings me to my next point. When you got married, I want to ask you, did you do away with all your single male friends?
Did I? Actually,
Never expire it, have you?
Let me answer this question. I didn't, but what I did was I introduced them to you, and you stole most of them.
Ah.
Now, they don't even talk to me. They just talk to me.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, and most of my friends now became yours.
I did away with all my female friends. I didn't even transfer them to him. I still get to see them once in a while.
I got
the feeling they were still checking me out. Because, I mean, look at me. So, it's possible that they were still checking me out. So, I did away with... And I think this is something that... also is kind of very touchy with when you have single friends, like managing situations where you know, we've got male and female friends, and managing situations where are they passing boundaries?
Okay, let's talk about that.
Are they boundaries like, why are you touching the shoulder, or why are you on the phone call for too long with him? Why are you?
I cannot touch man's shoulder.
No, you cannot though.
Wow.
What is your hand pinning you?
Sorry.
Is the shoulder? You didn't say it needs massage.
No.
Yeah, there's only two shoulders you
don't
need to touch.
Don't be annoyed.
These two.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Got
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And we're then, learning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I remember this one time she was on the phone with a friend of ours for too long. A guy. After the call, I was just waiting. Immediately that call ended.
Hey.
Did I wait for the call to end?
I texted her.
I was like, "Can you please?
Why are you talking? Why are you
I was
laughing?
Like, why are you laughing? What are you even? What's funny? What is even funny?
Wait.
Tell me the joke.
First and foremost, I think it was peppering him. Because I think we were fighting or something.
You didn't come and talk
and
to me.
And we're not talking.
We're not talking.
So
what
it was not
that?
Peppering him that was talking to my friend for that long. First and foremost, that conversation was just so natural. It wasn't forced.
But it won't happen again, Shani. That's the point.
It won't happen again.
We made
but
sure
basically,
that.
This is actually a question I want to ask you guys back home. Like, if you don't talk to someone often, yeah, this friend I was talking to, I don't talk to the person weekly or monthly or anything, no. Maybe like 3 times in the whole year. If you don't talk to someone often, then what's wrong with a once in a while long call? You're catching up.
Nothing is wrong, but we just don't do it. Nothing is wrong, but we just don't do it.
We
just don't do it.
Right.
We don't do it in this family, in the Gates family. We don't do
right.
it.
Right. That's
long conversation.
Ultimatum.
If any woman should call me, if it's reaching 2 minutes,
yes, boss.
What do you want? I remember a friend of mine said, when can we talk? I'm like, just say what you want to say.
Now?
Just say it now, because if you say when can we talk, I know you will reach me.
Right.
You will reach me.
Okay, well, now we know we cannot talk. So all my single friends, you've heard from the horse's mouth, make sure you put timer when you call me.
I guess what we are just trying to say all in all is, now we are not saying don't have single friends. We are not saying discard your family and your parents. We are saying prioritize.
Yeah.
I've got loads of single friends that I really, really cherish. My best mate is probably going to be single for another 5 years. I cherish him so much and all, like, but he knows his place. And this is something I try to do with all my friends. They know their place. My wife comes first. If you call me and say, are we doing this? I would always tell you, I've got to check in with my wife. If you can hate me for it, there's nothing I can do. I'm not cleaving with you. I'm not trying to cleave with you. I'm trying to cleave with her. So, she comes first.
I guess.
Same thing with my parents, actually. My parents know me. Like, if they ask me about something, I'll say, I've got to check in with my wife, except maybe it's something they need a response on the spot. And I'll say, right, this is what I think, but let me ask Kemi also, you know.
Yeah. It's natural in this game. Like, even if you are from opposite school of thoughts, I know people that their sister will still come and be doing sleepover every weekend in their house. It's just, at one point, there will always be a this versus this.
Yeah.
And you are just going to have to make that choice.
Yeah.
Like, life is just set up that way where you don't want it to happen, but there will always be a versus situation. And you have to choose, obviously, whatever is important for you. If your marriage is important for you, then obviously that's how it's going to be.
If your mom who made Bolly to send you to school is more important, that's fine.
Yeah.
Also, it's up to you. But
up to you.
It's all about prioritizing.
Yeah.
It's all about prioritizing. So to all our friends, all our families, we really, really do love you.
Mm.
We thank you for always, you know, supporting us. For, you know, without your friends and family, I would never have met you. You wouldn't be here. And same thing with me. Without my friends and family, I wouldn't be here. So we do love you guys so much. And we really, really do treasure you.
People are obviously so important to us. And that is why we are about to answer the question that we started the conversation with. In with the new, out with the old.
Nope, not necessarily.
Just prioritize and balance your life.
She's new in my life, but y'all are still very much important to me. She just takes more priority. And that even times...
In certain times, exactly. Well, majority of times.
So you guys, they are not old. They are not out. There's no, nobody's
out. We're not
out.
Kicking anyone
Except
out.
Except you try to break my marriage. I'll kick you out. You stay on the phone call with her for too long, I'll kick you out. You touch my shoulder, I kick you out.
Wow.
I don't like rubbish.
Wow. So, cleaving is not the same thing as cancelling culture.
Yeah.
So we need to reiterate that cleaving is the same thing.
What?
Reiterate.
Reiterate, Kenny. What's that?
Reiterate.
Yeah, cleaving doesn't mean counseling, you know, it doesn't mean. But anyways, that's our 2 cents today on this episode of Christian Marriage.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Yeah. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Get into the conversation in the comment section. Let us know what you think.
That's right.
Let us know, you know, what angle you're coming from and, you know, how long you've been married or what situation is.
Let and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. I'm at Moyo Gates and
Kemi Gates. See you next time
on this thing called marriage.
Bye.